right, Doug is off. I am with you solo for another 3 hours. We got Willie Cauley-Stein. He's going to be coming on, and we got a lot of football talk today as well. Tomorrow you've got New England at Tampa, and so we are going to talk a lot of football. Lincoln Kennedy to go over the Raiders debacle on, boy, I don't even know where to start with them. Then you have Chris Landry, the Landry Football Report at 5, and we'll get you right up till 7 o'clock. But right now, it is time to talk to Willie Cauley-Stein. Willie, it's Grant. Doug is off today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. It was great to get the feet wet on Monday. And I just, from your perspective as someone that is so athletic that can just get up and down the floor, just getting, I don't know, I was taken back by it. The speed of the game from your perspective, not you individually, but the team, was so noticeable. You must love that.
Man, it's a blessing. I got some guards that will run with me now.
Yep. Like,
and the whole team's running. We got our wings running wide. Everybody's spacing is going to be fantastic when we get it down pat. You know, we're still learning a bit on the spacing, but when we get that spacing down, it's going to be scary. We're going to put a lot of pressure on the paint.
I know it's only a preseason game, and I don't want to get you fined, so we can say this in a joking way, but that sixth foul on you may have been the worst call in the history of the NBA.
Man, there's a lot of bad calls.
But that you weren't even – I mean, how did they call that on you and not Scal? That's unbelievable to me.
They was Pop was telling them to foul me out.
That's incredible. I mean, it was just – and, you know, listen, it's not worth getting upset over and getting a fine, you know, but I was just like – I was still just amazed. Your reaction said it all. You couldn't believe it, could you?
No. They also hit me with like a few other ones that was a little questionable. That like that one wouldn't have mattered if they didn't call the other two on me, where I still get to play. I'm like, man, it's preseason, man. Like,
yep.
I'm just trying to play. Like, you know, I only play what, probably like 7 minutes in the first half. So that second half was, you know, really my time to get a rhythm. And so like it was more frustrating now to the call, whatever. You know, it happens, but more or less on myself. Like, man, I'm not even a hack like that. So, like, me fouling out in a preseason game is incredible to me.
Willie Cauley-Stein joining us. Willie, we had the coach on yesterday, and he said for Friday he's going to not play the vets, like, you know, the Vince Carter and the Randolphs and those guys. He said, I want to see what our young players can do against their frontline guys. Which I'm looking forward to, because I was so impressed with what I saw from De'Aaron Fox and Frank. And, I mean, I just love the future of this team. So I think Friday's, as a preseason game goes, this should be pretty fun.
Oh, it's going to be fun for sure, especially, you know, if we're really going to get that time that he's saying, and to really, like, experiment amongst ourselves, because, you know, we haven't been playing together that long, so we're still trying to figure out where each other likes to be at in certain situations. So, you know, when you're driving and kicking, you know my guy's going to be there. So,
yep.
You know, that's going to be really important for us. I think it'll be a lot of fun, this little road stretch that we're going on.
Willie, when I watched De'Aaron Fox come into the game the other night and saw the way he played, honestly, I kept on saying, wow. Like, I kept on literally, I was like, wow. As somebody that, you know, watch a 19-year-old do what he did. And again, I know it's preseason. I know it's only one game, so I'm not going to anoint him as the MVP this year. But you know what I'm saying. Did you as a player just go, wow, this guy has a chance to be real special?
Oh, man. I remember when I was on the bench with the Vets. He had done a couple moves. Him and Frank both, though. Don't let me get it twisted. Him and Frank both.
Yes, absolutely.
I was like, I just kept on looking at JT like, bro, you see this? This dude is hydroplaning.
Hydroplaning. I love that. I've been doing this 30 years. I've never heard a basketball player be described as hydroplaning. I love that.
He's it's like he was walking on water, man. Like, people my age would know about this from Twilight, but when the vampires is walking, whatever, it looks like they're on an escalator. That's what it looks like when he's running and like doing Euros through the lane. It looks like he's not even, like, he's so light on his feet. It's incredible. It's so fun to watch. So it's exciting to be able to play with him, because me and him are going to be a really crazy duo when it's all said and over with.
Can't wait. You know what, Willie? I cannot believe that 2 weeks from tonight, you guys are at home opening up the season against Houston, and yet you still have five preseason games left. That's kind of crazy. 2 weeks from tonight.
Yeah, man, it's coming quick. Coming real freaking fast, that's for sure.
Willie, what is it? Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, I was just saying, it's fun. Like, you know, we're tired of practicing already. Like, we're ready to play against somebody else than ourselves.
Do you see the improvement? Is it day-to-day with the team? I mean, because there's so many new faces. Is it day-to-day, or is it like, wow, I think we're ahead of ourselves than we were last week? I mean, there's a lot of work to be done, and yet you don't have a lot of time to do it. So can you just talk about, you know, getting better in practice? And do you see a difference, like, every couple of days with where you were?
You know, I see a difference every day. Like, we got such a great group of guys that, like, we're getting stuff done in practice now. Like, we're not just showing up and it's not fun to go to work. Like, we're showing up and it's fun when we step in the building and we're doing these drills. Like, you know, dudes are really locked in on what we're trying to do and what we're trying to get accomplished in that day alone. So, like, it makes the next day that much easier because you know you got something. Like, you know you got something out of that. Like, I used to hate having to go to practice and it just be like, blah, like, man, what are we doing here? Like, we can not be practicing and get the same thing out of it. Or we can do individual workouts and get the same thing out of it. And now it's like, today was a really freaking good day. Like we was really going through our offense well. Like, guys are starting to figure out backdoor cuts. And, like, we're not playing robotic anymore like we were a week ago, which is incredible to say. But, like, and it's also another thing. We still got 16 other sets to put in. And we're like,
wow.
And you know what I'm saying? It's just like we're finally starting to kind of click offensively. Like, oh, okay, I don't have to make this pass. I can make a different pass. Or I don't have to make this cut. Or I can make this cut whenever I feel like making this cut. Because it's a lot of like movement that we're running, and it's a lot of like motion offense. So, you know, I think we're like right now is everybody's trying to get a job. Everybody's trying to have their own role. So, like, you're thinking too much. And once that thinking becomes reaction to what's going on in the game, that's when this is going to get real scary for us.
You know what? I love what you just said, that, you know, it's fun to even come in and do drills and things of that nature. Now, you guys have only been together for a little more than a week with formal practices. But I just, you know, Willie, it just looks to me like you guys are having fun, that you all like one another and the chemistry is really positive. I mean, I can't even, it's got to be great to have that type of a working atmosphere when you guys are together for as long as you are, practicing and doing weights and, you know, all the training. It just seems like you guys genuinely are a team right now.
Yeah, man, that's really what it's coming down to is, you know, the easiest thing to do is not, you know, and just collect a check. That's the easiest thing to do.
Yep.
You know, we're making brotherhoods. Like, I've been, these young dudes coming in, like, you know, we really, like you said, we really, really enjoy, like, being around each other. So, like, that's a whole nother discussion. It's like, the best thing that you can do as a team is become your brother's keeper and play for each other. Because when you're on that floor, like, nothing else matters. It's like, y'all five. And the next dude's just on the bench coming in to help you out. So, like, that's who you're going to the trenches with. That's what you battled with for the last how many ever hours of practice you just put in the last, you know, months or whatever. Like, so that's the type of stuff that, like, gets me excited, just because, you know, we're really about to play for each other. It's not individual. It's not, you know, I'm not comparing myself to Scout. I'm not comparing myself to Buddy. I'm not, there's none of that going on. It's just like, what do I got to do to make us better? And what does he got to do to make us better? And eventually it's all just going to come, well, into like a little, like a cake, man. Gonna be sweet.
I love it. Hey, we'll see you in San Antonio. All right. Always great to talk to you. We'll have you on each and every week. We're really excited about that. And again, we'll see you in Texas.
All right. No good.
Yep. Take care. That's Willie Cauley-Stein. As we keep it rolling right here. When we come back, we'll take some of your phone calls at 339 1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. 4:30, we'll talk Raider football with Lincoln Kennedy. And at 5, we'll have the Landry Football Report with Chris Landry. 6:15, some hockey talk with Dan Ruzanowski as the start of the NHL season tonight. Can you believe it? We'll be right back. Sports 1140. All right, Grant Napier. Doug is off. Lincoln Kennedy at 4:30. We take your phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Let's get to Russ. Hello, Russ. How are you?
Hey, Grant. How you doing?
What's happening?
Hey, I just want to be quick about E.J. Manuel this weekend. If he performs, you know, somewhat sufficient, let's say free football, but say if he wins, I see, let me reword this. He performs sufficiently, mistake-free football, but his defense doesn't help him out. Does the Raiders still go look for other options, or do they still keep rolling with him?
They're going to keep rolling with him because they don't feel Derek Carr is going to be out of the lineup very long, so they're going to stay with him.
Okay, all right.
You know, I don't think fans understand. When you bring a quarterback in the middle of the season, I mean – just learning the offense, the terminology, everything, it's got to be one of the more difficult things to do in sports. So they have who they have, and they're going to go with who they have, and that's not going to change. And, again, maybe, and I'm only saying maybe, they would have, you know, done things a little bit differently if Carr had a season-ending injury. But, you know, he doesn't. And, you know, they also have another quarterback on their roster in Connor Cook, who we saw already play in the playoffs last year. So, you know, again – they're okay at that position.
Okay, thank you, Grant.
All right, thank you very much. 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, it's just mind-boggling to me that we live in an era where every single little comment is dissected and scrutinized like, you know, you would think it's the end of the freaking world. I mean, it's just incredible to me. Today, I mean, you know, and here's a guy that I have gotten on many times for his, in my opinion, unprofessional dealings with the media, and that's Cam Newton. Now Cam Newton's in hot water, all right, because he was asked by a female reporter about route running. And Cam Newton listened to the entire question, laughed a little bit, and said it was funny to hear a female ask that question. And then he answered it. He responded, quote, "It's funny to hear a female talk about routes like it's funny." All right? And he answered the question. And, I mean, so the reporter, Jordan Rodrique, I believe is the name, Rodrique, I beg your pardon, said on Twitter, "I spoke with him after, and it was worse. I chose not to share because I have an actual job to do today, and one he will not keep from me." So, again, she declined to talk about the meeting. Now, I don't know about what their private conversation entailed, all right? I'm not even going to get into that because that's a he said, she said, and, you know, that's I'm only going by what we said, okay? Personally, again, I'm just telling you from a fan watching, I didn't think Cam Newton was disrespectful to the reporter, but, you know, again, you got to be – everything you say in society today, you got to be politically correct. Because if you're not politically correct, then you get thrown under the bus, all right? It's just that everybody is so damn sensitive. I mean, it's just incredible to me. It really is. It's just unbelievable. I don't know if you saw the video today, all right? Now, I'm not – I wasn't the female reporter asking the question. So, you know, maybe I don't have the proper perspective, but I just, can we just lighten up a little bit for just even 5 minutes? It's incredible. So of course, now you knew this was going to happen, right? The Association for Women in Sports Media had to put out a statement saying, quote, that they are very discouraged by Cam Newton's disrespectful remarks and actions directed to a female reporter during today's Carolina Panthers press conference. As a watchdog group, AWSM demands fair treatment and positive workplace environments for women working in sports media. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. They should have fair treatment, and they should have, you know, a positive workplace environment. Now, let me ask you this. When an NFL coach gets curt and short with a male reporter, does it become a big story? Does it? When a NFL coach comes down hard on a male reporter, does anybody give a damn? Does anybody care? It happens all the time, right? Let me ask you this. When Greg Popovich goes off on a member of the media, does anyone care? Does anybody say a word? No. But don't do it to a female. Oh, no, because if you do it to a female, then there's got to be something behind it. How about this message? How about lighten up, people? How about lighten up? It's just unbelievable. It really is. Incredible to me. Again, I didn't ask the question. I'm male. I'm not female. But now we have to have the Association for Women in Sports Media to come in and get involved. Is that not going a little bit too far? Again, if you didn't see the video, then maybe this is a difficult picture to paint. I mean, he listened to the entire question. He laughed. And I didn't think he said it in a my interpretation. And I've killed Cam Newton in the past. So trust me, I have no problem coming down hard on Cam Newton. I really don't. But it seems to me, you know, my interpretation, I didn't take it as condescending to the reporter. But again, I'm not the reporter, but I'm just telling you how I perceived it. And now all of a sudden, now, you know, the Carolina Panthers had to come out and make a statement, and Cam's had to come out and apologize. It's just unbelievable. It really is. And again, my question to you, you know, what happens on Sunday or tomorrow night when a coach in the post-game press conference or it unloads on a member of the media if it's a male? Do you think that do you see the men's association come out and make a comment about the workplace and the environment? No, you don't. It's just incredible. It really is. All right, when we come back, Lincoln Kennedy. We'll talk Raider football. I don't know if it's a must-win game on Sunday. I'm not ready to go that far. But, boy, if they lose to this bad Baltimore Ravens team, the roof will start to cave in a little bit. We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. The Raiders, boy, oh, boy, you want to talk about a big game. I didn't think that week five was going to be that big of a game. Like, I mean, every game's big in the NFL. I don't want to, you know, act like this game when this schedule came out was not a big game. And this game now against the Baltimore Ravens, because let's face it, Baltimore has been terrible. They have absolutely been terrible. Terrible. And now, no Derek Carr. E.J. Manuel is the guy. All right? He's the guy that has to, you know, hold the fourth down. But if they don't run the football, I don't think it really matters. You know, what has happened to that offensive line? What is wrong with that offensive line? Well, who better to ask about the offensive line than a guy that was an outstanding right tackle in the NFL, and that's Lincoln Kennedy. Link, good to talk to you. How are you?
As usual, appreciate the love, Nate. It's good to talk to you. How you doing, man?
You know, I'm good, but boy, you got to be watching the lack of a running game and just go, what on earth is going on? What do you think?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think it's a lack of creativity. I think that you have to understand something that, you know, with a person, the Marshawn Lynch's ability on everyone's radar. So far, defenses have been able to key in on the fact that when he's in the backfield, they're going to try to give him the ball. And so they're bringing an extra man down in the box, most notably, pretty much about 70, 80% of the time. An extra man that's unblocked that the line can't account for. More importantly, they have yet to really stretch the field and make people respect, you know, the fact that they do have speed at the receiver position out of some of those run formations and those basic, you know, run looks that they have with Marshawn Lynch in there. So it's just like we see with any defense. You know, you can look at what happens to the Cowboys. What happens to the Minnesota Vikings when Adrian Peterson was having such a good year? People who played them said they were going to have their inexperienced quarterback, and Derek Carr is not necessarily inexperienced, don't get me wrong, but they have yet to show that they're going to do it. So they're going to load up the box and challenge you to throw the ball, beat them throwing the ball. Now, the receivers have had inconsistencies over the last couple of games. Played a little bit better last week in Denver, but still, you still talk about the drops. So you quantify all of that. I'm not saying the offensive line is devoid of any responsibility, by no stretch of imagination. But, you know, the thing is that you can only block so many. If you have a free man that's sitting in the hole that's making an initial contact with Marshawn Lynch, there's really no way for him to go.
All right, let's talk a little bit about, you know, where this team is through four games, all right? Two games behind, now without your starting quarterback for maybe 1 week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. We don't know.
Right.
And so take me inside that locker room. High expectations this year. Four games in the books, two games out of first, knowing now that, you know, your leader on offense is going to not play. So take me through what the guys are going through right now.
Well, you question your identity, you question your value, you question a lot of things. You question where they are. And the thing is that you were in a position, if you look back, you were in a position to win the Denver game, which is something that you really can't ask for other than actually winning it as a player. You can't really ask for much more. You're in a position. You know, the D.C. game was an anomaly where you just got blown out. You didn't show up. That is what it is. Now you got to try to right the ship. Now here's the thing. You got the Baltimore Ravens coming to town. Now statistically, they're not very good against the run. So if I'm sitting in that locker room, I'm saying, look, we've got to right the ship. We've got to make it happen. It's going to be us as an offensive line, an offensive lineman, to say we're going to make it happen, and we're going to go out there and make this work. The way that Todd Downing and offensive staff can aid them is be a little bit more creative with the play calling. Don't just have the standard 2-3 tight end look, one receiver. Do something exotic if you want to, but get Jalen Richard, DeAndre Washington involved just to soften up things. You know, do some sweeps or whatever it is. Don't just try to give the people what they want or what you think is going to be able to set a moniker for yourself by putting Marshawn Lynch out there and just having him run into a stacked line, because that doesn't do anything but waste time.
I'll tell you this, you know, when I look at the Ravens, and as bad as they've been the last 2 weeks, they got the same record as the Raiders. They lost 44-7 in London. I mean, they were thoroughly embarrassed. Then at home, they, against their arch rival Steelers, they get clobbered. And you know this, Link. You've been in a lot of teams in a lot of different situations. The Ravens are right now right in the thick of things. They are 2-2, and they're coming out west and they're going, you know what? The Raiders are struggling. We can get back on track. And I got to tell you, the one thing that the Raiders need this week, and I think you want it every week, but maybe more so, get off to a good start this week. I just would hate to see the Raiders fall behind early in this game and have this thing snowball.
I totally agree with you, Nate. That's why, you know, it's going to be up to the guys in front. Look, we said this, and you've heard me say it many times. It starts and ends with the boys up front. Whether it's the offense or defensive line, that's where it's going to go through, have to go through. This offense has got to get off to a fast start. I enjoyed the way that E.J. Manuel played in the last game when he had to come in, especially his difficult situation. For the most part, I thought that the offensive line, you know, kept the QBs clean. I mean, you talk about what Denver brings defensively. They're one of the best defenses in the league. And, you know, aside from the Derek Carr injury, they didn't have a whole lot of breakdowns. I know they gave up another sack, but didn't have a whole lot of breakdowns. Just didn't get into a rhythm. Couldn't get into a rhythm because they kept hitting their head up against the wall. So everything's going to start up front. I agree with you. The sort of caged animal antic where, you know, looking for a revenge or looking to make something happen as the Baltimore Ravens. I'm hoping they're a little jet lagged from all the traveling they've had to do
over
the last couple of weeks. But
yeah,
it is what it is. So we'll see how they perform. But, no, they got to get off to a fast start. There's no doubt about it, especially with a backup quarterback.
No question. Michael Crabtree did return to practice today. From you know, being on the sideline and then looking at the game when you get home from a different angle, what is your take on the ineffectiveness of Amari Cooper right now?
I just, you know, it's hard to say because I think he's just a hell of a kid, a hell of a young man, and I think it's just a concentration issue. It's to me, I've been around some of the greatest guys to play, and I've seen a lot of guys have drops every now and then, but there just seems sometimes where he's not all the way in it. There are times where he makes spectacular catches and does great things when he gets the ball, but there are times where it just seems like a lack of concentration. Most notably, one of the throws that happened last weekend's game, I thought it was a critical error, the critical down and spot for him to come up with a catch. You would think you would want to go to your big play receiver, and he came back to, you know, the huddle, you know, tapping his chest like, that's my fault. You know, you got to get in a position where you're a pro. That can't be your fault. You got to know that you're the man out there, and there's a reason why you're out there when everything is said and done. And when the ball comes your way, you have to fight to catch it. And I don't know, ultimately, unanimously, if he's there. And again, I'm not trying to question his credibility or his attitude. I just said sometimes it doesn't seem like he's always there.
We're talking with Lincoln Kennedy right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. It's the Raiders on Sunday at home against Baltimore. The nice thing for Oakland right now, you know, you're at home for a while. You got the Chargers coming in, and then on a short week, Kansas City. And we know how difficult it is on a short week, and you always want to be at home, whereas last year they were at Kansas City on a short week. So at least right now, you don't have to get on a plane. You know, you're going to be home. You got. I mean, I'm looking at positives right now, Link. I like the schedule for Oakland right now.
Well, I mean, it's hard to be positive when you see how they played the last couple of times.
I know.
You know, I call it like I see it.
I know you do.
I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. And the fact that you're without your starting quarterback, it leaves a lot to be desired. So
yeah, that's why I know it's cliche and you want to do it every game. But that's why I think even more so this week, and we just talked about this, getting off to a good start to me is paramount this week.
Without a doubt. I totally agree with you, my friend.
Yeah, we're talking with Lincoln Kennedy right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Did Denver – were you surprised by anything that Denver did? Were you surprised – that, as you said, the Raiders were in position to win that game despite having no success running the ball in any way, shape, or form, and yet they still had a chance to win that game.
The only thing that surprised me is how Denver mismanaged the clock at the latter part of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was incredible.
That was the thing that was most surprising. You just don't see coaching staffs in the NFL make blatant errors like that. There's no reason why on first down, with the Raiders out of timeouts, 5 minutes and some change to go, for you to try to throw a bomb on the first play when you get the ball. I mean, now that you just put yourself in a bad position, especially when you're backed up. So I thought there's just the only thing that really surprised me is mismanaged the clock. We knew that Denver was going to be good, especially with that defense. Defense is going to keep them in every game. And if you don't, you can't, you know, we came into this season talking. I said the way our defense looked, we're going to have to score at least 3-4 touchdowns a game, right? Well, last two games, you see what they lost by. And they got to find a way to generate offense, and they haven't been able to do it. The Raiders have.
Let's talk about those dogs up in Seattle, man. 5-0, and they just are rolling again. First in the Pac-12 North, and you know, unfortunately with their schedule, they obviously are going to have to go undefeated to get into the Final Four. But what do you like about them?
Well, I mean, I like a lot of things. They're finally putting things together. That over the last couple weeks, they've done a better job at protecting Jake Browning. And they've also done a better job at establishing a running game. Also, you know, you take a look at the quality of opponents. I mean, as far as I hate to say it, but Oregon State defensively is not very strong. So it's a more of a confidence booster, in my opinion, the way they play. But this one against Cal coming up, I expect them to handle business. I don't want to get Cal off the track and get them back on the momentum they were running before they played the SC. So I'm hoping that the boys in purple can really take care of things.
Yeah, you talk about Jake. You know, he's completing over 71% of his passes through five games, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And, you know, last year he ended up the season with that shoulder that he had to have surgery on. So, I'm partial because I've watched him play most of his – you know, I watched him play in high school every Friday. I mean, I just love watching him play. I love the way he throws the ball.
Well, he's a lot of fun, and it's been good. And I think that Washington has actually done a good job in managing his throws. Of course, the level of concern for me is watching as many throws he had. You hearing the stories that you told me about in high school and then seeing over the last couple of years how many times he's thrown the ball.
Yep.
You can only imagine how worn out that arm can be at times. But I like the way they've managed him so far.
All right, Link, we'll talk to you next week, buddy. It's always good to catch up with you.
Pleasure's all mine, Nate. Be well.
Yep, you do the same. That's Lincoln Kennedy. Good stuff right there. If you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Somebody on Twitter during the last break said that Cam Newton's comment implied that the reporter couldn't or shouldn't talk about routes because she's female. That is 100% an issue and has no place in any workplace. Well, I didn't take it like that, and I responded to the tweet that if your assessment is accurate, then I 100% agree with you. And again, I made it very clear that that was my view, and I was not the reporter asking the question, and I wasn't in the room. But watching the video, I didn't take it that way. Again, that's just me. But if you're right, okay, if you are right about Cam Newton, and the implication was, as you wrote, that the reporter could not or should not talk about routes because she's female, then I 100% agree with you, 100%. I just, again, I didn't take it that way. It doesn't mean I'm right, but it doesn't mean I'm wrong either. Let's get to Nash. Hello, Nash.
Hey, man, how about them Yankees, man? How exciting was that?
You know, to me, it's they haven't done anything yet. You know, to me, it's a play-in game is what it is. So as far as I'm concerned, the playoffs start Thursday.
No, but I mean, as far as like the moment and stuff, because when I watched it, man, within the first inning, man, it was like, oh wow, okay, this is what everybody's talking about when they're saying that we should be here in about years, we like that, and then they turned around and it was just kind of like old school business as usual type of things, and then Green and Robinson, man, those two MVPs right there, man.
Well, I think Chad Green probably had the biggest impact on the game with runners on second and third and one out to strike out the next two batters. That was gigantic, and then obviously Didi with a three-run poke in the first. But, I mean, when you look at Green, when you look at Robertson, you know, when you look at Canely, you know, I mean, I was a little surprised that Chapman came in the ninth. Personally, I would not have put Chapman out there in the ninth inning. But, you know, again, Joe Girardi knows his team a lot better than I do. I just think you're up four. I wouldn't put Chapman in the game in the ninth.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but you know, it's still sudden death. So I'd rather be sure than not sure. You know, but we get to play what tomorrow? Is that right?
Tomorrow, yes, in Cleveland, game one tomorrow.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that because they got the Kluber on the hill, and I ain't gonna lie, that guy's kind of
no.
Scary,
he's not pitching. No. He's not pitching until game two.
Two. That's right. Yeah. No, he's pitching.
Yeah. I don't understand. Trevor Bauer is pitching game one. Now he's a really good pitcher, but why would you not start Corey Kluber in game one? I don't understand that.
I have zero idea I mean, it's a best of five. So are you trying to say that we suck that bad that, you know, he's going to end up like they're going to just hurry up and get to the Red Sox or the Strohs?
I don't know. You know what? It's a great question. And again, here's the deal. Terry Francona is a very difficult guy to second guess. I mean, I can't really second guess Terry Francona. But I and everyone else kind of puzzled by that.
Yeah, me too. I don't get it, but I mean, I'm not paid to manage baseball games.
All right. Hey, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much.
All right, now.
All right, take care. All right, and again, as of when I came on the air, and by the way, tonight it's the National League wild card game with Gray against Greinke. That game is in Phoenix. As of an hour ago, I did not see Joe Girardi come out and, you know, announce who was starting for the Yankees in game one. But I do know, again, a lot of people are wondering, like, okay, why is the pitching rotation that way in games one and two for Cleveland? And that's a very fair question. But as I said, I look at Terry Francona, it's very difficult to, you know, second guess his decisions. But it's unbelievable to me that that's the way it is. All right, 339-1140, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. And I would say this, I don't think it really matters. I think Cleveland's going to win this series. I I just don't see how the Yankees win this series. I just don't see it. You know, I look at the, you know, the starting rotation, Cleveland has the advantage. And I'm looking at the bullpen. And listen, I like the Yankees' bullpen. Has been great, all right? But the Cleveland, you know, Andrew Miller, all right? I mean, come on now. So I'm looking at, you know, a knee injury for, you know, Miller, and then, you know, what, Cody Allen came in and was like, you would have thought that he was Goose Gossage in his prime, for crying out loud. I don't know. I'm just looking at the Indians winning this series, as much as I hate to say that, but, I mean, they were the best team in the American League this year for a reason, and on the heels of what happened last year in, you know, that seventh-game loss at home, I give them a lot of credit to bounce back and have that type of year, end up with the best record in the American League. I mean, that's pretty impressive, is it not? I mean, that is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. But, I mean, Allen, you know, when he took over for Miller, when Miller got hurt, I mean, come on. You know, and look at their and here's the other deal. They're strong up the middle. You know, you got Bauer's going to start. You got Kluber. You got Carrasco. And, I mean, there's not a lot about the Cleveland Indians that I look at and go, oh, boy, they got a weakness there. Right? Don't see it. All right, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, the National League wild card in Arizona, National League West affair. And that is a game in which the reason why the Diamondbacks went out and gave Zach Greinke basically the bank, that's why. That's why for tonight. Zach Greinke's got to pitch very well tonight. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, they're paying him as that guy. You know, he's making a ton of money. Got to get the job done tonight against the Colorado Rockies. We talked at the beginning of the show about the general manager's survey in the NBA. I'll get back to that a little bit later in the show. But we are going to talk in a little bit with Chris Landry, the Landry Football Report. And, you know, you look at tomorrow, and you look at the schedule that begins with New England at Tampa Bay, and who knows where you go with this game. But then, you know, you look at the schedule this week for the local teams. You know, we talk about the Raiders at home. San Francisco is at Indianapolis. Andrew Luck's returned to the practice field in a limited basis. He's obviously not going to play. Then you have Buffalo at Cincinnati. Cleveland and the Jets in the dog pound. Carolina travels to Detroit. That should be an interesting matchup. Miami hosts Tennessee. Chargers and the Giants. Someone's got to win unless it goes to overtime and it's tied, but someone's going to win. Arizona's at Philly. Pittsburgh is home to Jacksonville. Seattle is at the Rams. Green Bay and Dallas. That's the national game on Fox. And then your Sunday night game. This should be a dandy. You got Kansas City against the AFC Player of the Week in Deshaun Watson. Raise your hand if you thought Deshaun Watson was going to be the AFC Player of the Week after four games. That's pretty impressive. And then your Monday night matchup has Minnesota at Chicago. So that is your week five in the NFL. Now, tomorrow we'll have that Patriots and Buccaneers game from Raymond James Stadium. We'll get you out there with Ian Eagle and company at 5 o'clock. And then, of course, we have got, you know, the Raiders game on Sunday as well. We got a lot of good things going on this weekend because we've got the Kings. We've got the Cardinals and the Eagles at 10 a.m. right here on Sports 1140. So we'll go from the game in Philly to the Ravens and Raiders, followed by NBA. So a full schedule. And then, of course, Friday, San Antonio is the spot for the Kings. That will be at 5 o'clock pregame. and a 5:30 tip from South Texas. We got some college football on Saturday with LSU at Florida at 12:30, and then Eastern Washington at UC Davis at 6. Speaking of college football, boy, oh, boy. And I'm going to talk to Chris about this. I mean, does it get any more embarrassing if you're LSU and you're losing to Troy State? Really? And Florida is what, ranked 20th, 21st in the country? They're 3-1, but boy, oh boy, how do you lose to Troy State? What a disaster that must be. All right, when we return, it will be the Landry Football Report. Chris Landry joins me right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.